The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am going away, and you will look for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, he's not going to kill himself, is he? Because he said, where I'm going, you cannot come. He said to them, you belong to what is below. I belong to what is above. You belong to this world. I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, what I told you from the beginning. I have much to say about you in condemnation. But the one who sent me is true, and what I heard from him I tell the world. They did not realize that he was speaking to them of the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am, and that I do nothing on my own, but only what I hear the Father teach me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone because I always do what is pleasing to him. Because he spoke this way, many came to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
God's responses are always medicinal. Because they're medicinal, they're very instructive to us to see what the original malady was. So in today's first reading, after the children of Israel were complaining against God and Moses, thinking that God worked those 10 miracles just to bring them out to die in the desert, who were complaining because they didn't like the food God was giving them from heaven so that they wouldn't starve to death. God sent them these seraph serpents, which bit them with poisonous venom so that many of them died. And then they finally came to their senses. They recognized that they had sinned in complaining against the Lord and his messenger and begged Moses to pray that the serpents be taken away. And God gave this medicine. Make a seraph serpent and mount it on a pole, and whoever looks at it after being bitten will live. And that's precisely what occurred. Why a seraph serpent? To put a serpent up there at all. The reason why God had sent the serpents is to remind them of that ancient serpent who slithered in the Garden of Eden to get Adam and Eve, in a sense, to complain even in paradise. The serpent is a reminder of the way we can cooperate with the devil against God. And so when we put a serpent up on a pole, it's a reminder of that disobedience, that complaining, that sinning. And it's then recognizing the sin that they could be healed by the Lord. But they would never be able to be healed unless they first recognized they were sinners and what the cause of it was. In the Gospel today, Jesus says to the Pharisees that he's going away and they're going to look for him, but they're going to be looking too late. Because they will die in their sin. Why? Because they didn't believe that Jesus is the great I Am. They ultimately didn't believe Jesus was sent from I Am Who Am, Yahweh, and that Jesus was, in fact, I Am Who Am in the flesh. The great sin is not accepting God. It's a lack of faith. It's infidelity. All the other sins flow from that first one. We just don't believe in God, either, period or in a practical situation where we choose a Barabbas in disguise over Christ. And so Jesus said that they will realize that He is Yahweh when the Son of Man is lifted up. That's when they'll recognize that He does nothing on His own, but only what the Father taught Him. That this was the Father's will for Him to become like that bronze serpent lifted up so that we might be able to be saved. This, when the Son of Man is lifted up, goes back to something Jesus had said 5 chapters earlier in St. John, in that dialogue with Nicodemus. Said, for when the Son of Man is lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that all might come to believe in Him and be saved. Why was Jesus, this seraph serpent, lifted up on the pole of the cross? Because for 2 reasons. One, when we look at Jesus on the cross, we are supposed to see immediately what our sins did. They're not little peccadilloes. Our gossiping against our neighbor. Our watching something that we shouldn't have watched. Our failure to put God first. Our holding on to that grudge. Those white lies. That's what they did. It's what they did. And when we look at Jesus on the cross, we're supposed to see right off the bat what happened as a result of our sins. Our complaining against the Lord. Our not living gratefully in response to the salvation He's given us, which is so much greater than the salvation He gave the Jews, leading them into the desert. What happened to us in baptism is so much greater than all those Old Testament miracles. But also we're supposed to see how Jesus, out of His incredible love for us, became sin. As St. Paul says, He who knew no sin became sin. Jesus became like that serpent. He was the one crucified as if He was the wrongdoer. He was the one who took our place on death row as if He were the malefactor and not us. When we look up on the cross, we're supposed to see not only what our sin does, but what who took on all of that sin in order to take it away from us so that we would be able to live. The Israelites, if they looked at the seraph serpent embronzed and put on the top of that pole, even if they had that poisonous venom inside of them, would live. In a similar way, even though we've still got concupiscence, even though we're still struggling, when we really look at the cross, when we really see Jesus on the cross for what He has done, how much He loves us, then even though we've still got some of that poison inside, it's like He's sucking that poison right out of us so that we might survive. But Pope Francis said this morning, it's key for us to really look at the cross the right way. We don't look at the cross, the Holy Father said, as just an ornament for the altar. We don't look at the cross as a piece of jewelry that even movie stars will wear. We've got to look at the cross and see, Jesus, I am lifted up. Believe in this love. Believe that our sins caused it. Believe that He became sin in order to suck that venom of sin straight out of us forever. And when we begin to look at the cross this way, the Holy Father says everything changes. St. Paul, in his 6th chapter of his letter to the Galatians, said, I glory in nothing, I boast in nothing, but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Often when we look at the cross, we see just a sign of torture and pain. But when we look at the cross, we're fundamentally supposed to see the love of God that bore that much pain in order to take away what was killing us, not just in this world, but forever. That's why we should always boast. That's why we should always glory. That's why with St. Paul, we should recognize that this is not a scandal or a folly, as the Jews and Greeks respectively deem it, but that this is really the power and the wisdom of God. This is the great medicine that we need. This is the Evangelium in response to the Proto-Evangelium. After Eve and Adam were bitten by the serpent, we were promised that there would be a Redeemer who would come, and that offspring of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. That's exactly what Jesus did when he was lifted up. When we come to Mass, we do more than just look at Jesus lifted up on the cross. But when we receive him in Holy Communion, we climb up with him on that same cross, so that we in turn might become those signs bringing healing to a bitten world. Today, let us glory in this gift. Let us thank God for this gift, and let us receive its medicine in all its power and glory. Praise be Jesus Christ.